This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live today, July 12th, 2019. Hey, I'm running a contest that ends at midnight tonight. So if you're a live listener or a listener who just downloads that thing right away, I'm giving away a cool dildo from Blush Novelties. They did a bunch of toys in a bunch of pride flags, and I'm giving away the pride dildo in the trans pride flag colors. Yep, all you have to do is go follow me on Instagram, comment with your trans role model, and tag someone else. And that's all you have to do. And I'm announcing it tomorrow. So you could win a free dildo. Just saying. Also, we're live. So if you want to call and talk to me or my guest or both of us, join the conversation. You can call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. If you're not with us live, you can always call with questions or with comments on the show at 323-SEX. 8266-323-SEX-8266. So speaking of the trans pride flag, let me tell you who I've got on my show today. Jay Pryor is a speaker, executive coach, and facilitator of corporate trainings and workshops around the world. They are a transgender and gender nonconforming advocate and educator for inclusivity and gender consciousness. They also serve as the co-host of Doing the Work with Jay and Becca, a weekly podcast devoted to awakening people to their own power to transform their lives. Jay is the author of the acclaimed book, I love this title, people, Lean Inside, 7 Steps to Personal Power, a practical guide to transformation for women. Jay lives with their wife, Jessica, and their 2 children in Lawrence, Kansas. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Jay.
Thank you, Tristan. It's so great to be here.
You're in Lawrence, Kansas. So does that mean you know my friend Helen Boyd?
I don't know your friend Helen Boyd.
Oh, she
at least I don't know her name, but I bet I know her.
Am I confused? She teaches at Lawrence College, but that's not in Kansas.
No, that's not in Kansas. No.
There's
lots of Lawrences in the world. There's Lawrence.
It's in Wisconsin. Oh my God, Tristan, that was a fumble.
It's okay.
Anyway.
Lawrence, Kansas is the center of Google Earth, though. So that's something.
No.
Plus, there's actually lots of authors. And William Burroughs was here in Lawrence, Kansas, lived here. Mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah, lots of good stuff.
So I got a sneak preview of your one human show called The Gender Reveal Party.
Yeah.
And I love it, first of all.
Thank you.
And also, I feel like it sort of, it tells a lot of your story, your personal story. And so it helped me kind of get to know you before I got to know you.
Sure,
and
yeah.
You, in fact, grew up in Kansas. You left for a while. You came back. You grew up in Kansas with a big family.
I did.
And you kind of moved through a number of identities. One of the things you use in this one person show, it's kind of like a device to keep the audience, you know, on the same page, is that like you sort of announce what identity you are at that point in your life. And so there's tomboy, there's butch, there's woman, there's back to butch, there's power lesbian, there's trans man, there's gender nonconforming. How have all your siblings, because you come from a big family, how have all your siblings sort of rolled with the punches here, or have they?
Most of them have. I'm the youngest of nine, and I'm 53 years old. So, and there's 27 years difference between me and my oldest sibling.
Oh my God.
So, and he passed a couple years ago. So, he was 77 when he died. So my oldest sibling is 77. And, to be honest, she and I have not had a conversation about they, them pronouns. And I don't know that I'll have that conversation with her unless she's listening right now. I don't know that. Okay. I don't know we're going to do that. But my siblings who are close to me and who live here and who are also a little more conscious, they are rolling with the they, them now. They, in the beginning, when I first came out as trans, part of my concern of going on testosterone, because it was one of those things that I said I would never do, of course. And then one of my big concerns was my family. And when I did that, I had it ran the gamut. I had one sister who was, you know, really concerned about me and read the Bible to me. And then I had another sister who was concerned but on board and then got to know, like, educated herself. And then I had some brothers who were like, of course, yeah, cool, awesome, great, you know, all the stuff. So kind of, you know, there's a lot of them. So it kind of ran the whole spectrum.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Bible. Mm-hmm. And at some point in your journey, one of my favorite lines from the show is that, like, you started to wonder about your identity. Let's just say you started to wonder about it. And you kind of panicked. Mm-hmm. And so you say, I doubled down on Jesus, which is one of my favorite lines. I doubled down on Jesus.
I doubled down on Jesus. Yes, I did. But I was Catholic.
We all have, like, these different coping mechanisms for what to do, to just, like, both convince ourselves that we're straight, to convince other people we're straight, or just sort of, like, hush the inside voice inside of you. But you sort of maneuvered your way through high school. I also like that one of your coping techniques was to convince everyone you were straight, you became a slut.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like an amazing, just, I just consider it, you know what I mean? I consider it a coping technique.
It was a coping technique. I often, and you know, now that I can love myself the way I do, because I've done a lot of transformational work, I also think it was a brilliant strategy. Like, I was a strategist throughout my whole, I look back and I'm like, wow, I was very strategic about a lot of things. And I remember thinking about it and, like, having it be a conscious thing. And I had to get drunk to sleep with boys. So unfortunately that meant a lot of excessive drinking and, you know, bad behavior. But because I'd have to get hammered, I'd just go get really, really drunk. And then, you know, they're really easy to sleep with. So, you know, that's always easy to do. You know, that once I was drunk enough. But unfortunately, it had to come from me being drunk first, because it wasn't anything I really wanted to be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're really, really honest in this show. I'm not sure that you held anything back. I'm sure you did. But there's just, it brings us inside in a way that I think many people might be fearful to go to some of the places that you go in this show. Was there any point at which you were putting it together and you were like, oh, but this, I don't think I should do this?
There were times whenever, well, I had to do some more work to rehearse it and get it to a place where I could perform it without, like, having too much emotion around it myself. Mm. And, but no, there's just, like, the thing about this show for me is I've been doing LGBTQ activism and education for a long, long time. I've been up in front of people answering questions from them that are inappropriate and just unsettling. And I have been kind and polite and always make sure to frame my answers in ways that make sure they're not defensive. And I just really got to a place where I was like, when I detransitioned, first of all, the comedy just kept coming from me after starting my period again and all that rot. But then it was just like, it's time to tell the story so people can really hear it. Because I have been coming out over and over and over again as a gender nonconforming person for 18 years. And I, at all levels, people cannot get there. They cannot see me as anything other than what I appear as before their eyes. And so I think sometimes the only way to get really people to really wake up is to like just tell it as raw and as vulnerable as it can be. And basically for me, what I discovered for myself is my power lies in my vulnerability. When I'm that vulnerable about something, no one can hurt. And there's nothing. I've already gone that raw and real, and I'm good. You know, like, and so I've turned it into art. And for me, I'm excited about the show. It's some of my best stuff. And that's why I just had to go there. I had to go to the most raw places I could find.
Well, you're an incredible storyteller.
I don't think you can describe the experience of a woman without that. Without those pieces, people couldn't see me as a woman.
Mm. I did notice, though, that you do get emotional on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering sort of how you process that, because you go back and tell certain pieces of your history that are traumatic.
Yeah,
and it feels like it comes right back up to the surface, or as a person watching it, and I thought, oh my God, how are you going to do that over and over again?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
Great.
We'll
see.
this is a new show, and I haven't done it a lot, but rehearsing it, what basically comes up is like it depends on what day it is that might be tender and need to actually come out and get processed more or deal with. But I guess what I want to get good at is being able to be there and in that emotion when it's necessary, and then being able to pull it back and get back into the show. And that's a muscle. Like, it's just a practice. It's a muscle. It's a neural pattern muscle. It's a memory muscle. It's all of that. The only thing I know is that all the transformational work I've done up to this point to heal all of those things are healed for me. Like, there is, I am forgiven. I do forgive myself. I don't get pissed at my body anymore. I don't, you know, like in fact, I have learned to love that piece of me that gets turned on by weird barbershop cologne. Like, you know, I mean, I know it sounds weird, but like, I'm healed from this. And so I can share it. And people need to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I just think of like you re-traumatizing yourself. Sometimes when I tell stories and I get right back into that space, it takes me a while to sort of recover to get back out.
Yeah.
And you're juggling, holding the stage, holding the space, being the number one person that everyone's listening to. You can't like sort of like go take a deep breath in the corner. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't be like, hey, and we're going to take a break every time you get like overwhelmed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and that is why it's important. And this is part of the practice and the rehearsal of it is not veering from the script. Like, this is the kind of show where if I veer from it, I'll end up in a mess. Because I gotta have to stick to the script. The other thing I do is I always take the next day off. Anytime I have a show, I have a whole day off to just lay around in my vulnerability hangover and deal with whatever I gotta deal with.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good self-care.
Yeah.
Okay, we gotta take a break. The show has to do its own self-care, which involves engaging with capitalism and having commercials. So let's hear from our great sponsor, including the Pleasure Chest, and some advertisers. And when we come back, more with Jay Pryor. Stay with us. It's July, which means it is the one and only sale of the year at the Pleasure Chest, in store and online. It's BOGO. Buy one, get one half off anything that vibrates of equal or lesser value. Have your eye on a luxury vibe. These things do not go on sale, people. Maybe you want to try a vibrating butt plug. Maybe your magic wand is about to kind of kick it.
Not to worry. BOGO is the perfect time to restock or upgrade your toolbox. You need to invest in pleasure for yourself, for a lover, for a friend, for a partner, or really just to treat yourself. This sale goes on for the entire month of July. It excludes Crave and Pleasure Chest kits. It's not available to combine with any other offers or promotions. Visit pleasurechest.com and get your vibe on.
Hey, Dylan, guess what?
What's that, Ginger?
I'd love for you to come with me on this amazingly sex-positive, queer, and polyam-friendly, kink-aware, all-inclusive resort vacation in paradise.
Oh, really? This trip sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Ginger A. Bentham stamp of approval?
It has the sexiest name. It's called The Swing Set Takes Desire. It takes place in Cancun, Mexico, at Desire Riviera Maya, November 2nd through 9th, 2019. This trip to paradise is co-hosted by Javian Shara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, Bradford and Angela from the By the By podcast, and special guest Tristan Taramino, author, podcaster, and creator of excellent, ethically produced porn. And you can find more information at swingsetdesire.com.
Oh, Ginger.
What?
Get with the times. Everybody knows about swingsetdesire.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set is hosting its 8th annual trip to paradise. Drop your information in the form at swingsetdesire.com and boom, hot tub happy hour.
No way. I can go there and come there too. There's this super hot harness I've been dying to use.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to swingsetdesire.com and book your trip to join us for the Swing Set Takes Desire, November 2nd through the 9th, 2019.
All right, Dylan, I'm on it. Swingsetdesire.com.
You'll be glad you came.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking tonight with speaker, executive coach, facilitator of corporate trainings and workshops, and the creator of a one-human show called The Gender Reveal Party, Jay Pryor. Jay, one of the things that strikes me in this story, because of course, when you hear the stories of gender nonconforming folks, like there are always kind of echoes of other stories,
right?
And you begin to see similarities. But one thing that really struck me about yours is that you were so strongly invested in your kind of lesbian roots, mm-hmm. and creating space for women, mm-hmm. and not going into your transition saying, I never, ever want to think about that part of myself ever again. I mean, people take different approaches, right? And everyone is entitled to however they want to approach their past experience as another gender. But you seem especially like rooted, honoring, celebrating, to the point where your job is about women, right?
Yeah. I've always loved women. I absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, you know, for me, last year I got to go to a keynote at a women's summer camp, a feminist summer camp, and they were so fantastic.
Is it Autostraddle?
No, it was
feminist summer
camp. Yeah, there you go. But they were so fantastic because they did see me as gender nonconforming. And it was the first time I got to be in women's only space in 18 years that I didn't create. Mm. So I will say that there was two motives for the women's only spaces. One of them was so I got to be with women a lot, but also to teach straight women how to hold space for one another. Because what I found in coaching women is that especially, but it was different for me because I grew up with lesbians, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, in the world of lesbians, we're not trashing each other. We're lifting each other up, and we don't trash each other about our bodies. We don't trash each other about, I mean, it was just not, we don't do that. And so when I became a coach and I was predominantly a coach for straight women, I found that their world was not like that. and that many of them didn't know how to hold space for other women or even how to have relationships with other women that were empowering. And so part of my commitment to serve them and to create spaces for myself was to teach them also how to hold space for women. And the cool thing about that is, even though I'm not doing seminars here for women, there are groups of women who have come together that are still going out of my work here in this town, and women who didn't have women friends and women-only spaces are connecting like they never have before in this town, and it's something I really appreciate out of that work.
I love that. But yeah. Did anyone ever give you the side eye, like, you're going to coach women?
Oh, yeah.
First, they could read you and say, you're not a woman. They could say, you've never been a woman.
Right.
I mean, they could make all sorts of assumptions.
Oh, like, yeah, they all did.
How did you deal with that?
I was out all the time. I mean, I've always been out. But for me, not to be out was like, I just don't even know how to do that. Like, I'm always out. So, you know, anytime somebody ever made a comment about that like that, I just came out and talked to them about it. So that's basically how that worked for the most part. In the beginning, when I first did workshops here, the very first time I did it, I didn't come out to them till the end of the workshop. Mm. And then I got to watch their jaws drop because I got to, and it was really fun that I did that a couple times. Then I ended up like coming out in the beginning. I switched it around, but first couple times I didn't come out to the very end. And I had some women who just, I mean, it was jaw-dropping for them, and they really got it because they could see that I could see what they dealt with. Because that's the thing.
You get to move through the world from these different points of view, which not all of us do.
Right, and up until not long ago, really, people weren't as conscious of systemic sexism. It was trans guys that could see it more than, you know what I mean? Where other women couldn't see that they were swimming in this sexism. Mm-hmm. And almost like they would come to me with this, like, it seems like this is happening, but it's almost like they were being gaslit in corporate America. Like, it seems like I'm being discriminated against, but then I keep being told that everything's good and, you know? And so now we're starting to be more conscious and we can see those things and people are starting to get microaggressions and, you know, we're way more conscious than we used to be. But back then, yeah, people were not tuned into that conversation. So I was a valuable lens for women and still am because I know what it is to be them.
Yes. As you said, one of my also little phrases that you used in your show that I loved was that you were classically trained female.
Classically trained female. Yes, I was.
Which is kind of like the right socialized female. I like a classical training.
Yes.
It's very Midwestern. It's deeply rooted in these Midwestern values, classical training.
Yes.
And it must be fascinating. I've heard this from other people who've transitioned to sort of all of a sudden have people read you completely differently and shift the entire way that they interact with you.
Oh, yeah. It's very interesting. Very interesting. And I would assert that, and part of what I try to get across in the show is that I felt like I had been, you know, transitioned for so long, and then especially after moving to Kansas and then having kids, like after a while I was out everywhere, it's almost like I started to go unconscious to it, and then I raised my own consciousness, and then I could see it even more. Like, I could see women jumping up to serve me, and I could see men sitting around having women serve them and nobody noticing. And, you know, like, it just became hard to be with, almost. I mean, you know, I had my own little awakening. That's when the Me Too movement happened. And like I said, I'm more virile than I'd ever been as a masculine being. My beard was thicker. As masculine as I've ever been. And then the Me Too movement happened and I'm flashing back. Right. So then I'm just, oh my God. Like, all my woman roots just came right back up. And it was like, oh wow.
Well, those triggers are deep. I mean, those wounds are deep and I think that was it. That continues to be triggering.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like, you know, every day in the news, someone has been essentially, you know, brought to a reckoning. They haven't been caught per se. They've just been finally, because it's always a kind of long pattern. All these men are now under a spotlight, and it's every day.
Right.
It's every day.
It's multiple.
So it's hard to just be like, I'm just going to like look at my Twitter feed and everything's going to be fine, because inevitably you're running into something, which is really, it's really tricky. But then to also have on top of it, not wanting to be one of those guys,
right?
You're like caught in the, oh my God, like I've survived those guys. And now am I being complacent?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very complicated position to be in.
Very complicated feeling. And being undercover, because like, last year I went to bear camp with my 7-year-old boy, with all the other Boy Scout dads.
Oh, this is not the bear camp I was thinking of.
No. Okay. That bear camp would have been much more fun for me.
No, okay, not gay, burly men, bearded.
Cub Scout.
Okay.
Right? Overnight camp. And it was so fascinating to me because I had all these, the layer of emotions and the layer of images that I had, just none of them, you know, every one of them thought that I had the same experience they did growing up a boy and having their, you know, every one of them and how they relate to me. And they just think of me as another dad. I'm undercover and I'm this lesbian. And I'm like looking at one of them, put lotion on their back, on the kid's back. And I'm all moved because he's being tender with his child. You know, it's an interesting world being an undercover white guy.
Yes. And what is it like? You say in the piece that becoming a parent is the most transformational thing that can happen to you, which is, of course, ironic coming from someone who's, you know, had a transformation that not everyone has and is usually considered a big deal.
Yeah.
But why are kids and raising kids more transformational than you actually transitioning?
Because kids make you deal with your insides more than, I mean, when you transition, you have to deal with how people treat you. I mean, the first thing I noticed was the lack of people whispering about me, because I'd my whole life, people had been wondering whether I was a boy or a girl, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're transitioning, a lot of what you're responding to is how the world is treating you. And you know, that's something to deal with. And you have stuff to move through. But man, when you have a kid, they they reflect back to you the worst of you. I mean, your kid will pop off and say something that you didn't even get it, but that came out of your mouth. Like, they learned it from you, right? And so you just, and they put you in situations where they're just like, you know, you just want to knock their block off, but you can't because they're little kids. So, you know, you just have to deal with yourself on a level that I never had. I've dealt with so many things in my life, all these things, but I never had to deal with myself like I had to deal with myself when I had kids.
Fascinating.
And my classic training as woman came out, and this is where I wrote my book, because what happened to me was the perfectionism in me was like uber intense when the kids came. It was like, oh my God, I have to get this right. And then I was failing constantly and then beating the shit out of myself because I was failing constantly. And at the same time, my mom was dying and I was grieving. I mean, there was just all this mess, right? And then my response to it was my dad. My dad comes flying out at me and I'm like, what the hell did that? How did that happen?
Right.
I mean, I thought my classic training would have my mom come out at me, who my mom, the harshest thing she ever said to me was, now listen here, lamb chop. And my dad, you know, is going, next thing I know, I hear myself saying things like, you want to wear your ass for a hat? And then I'm like, oh, wonder why this 3-year-old's scared of me. Like, what the hell is going on? So it was a trip to have kids, and it ongoing to have kids.
Let's take another break. I want to hear more about this because also kids these days, I'm just going to say it, kids these days are very different from us and have grown up in a different world. So let's take a break, hear from our sponsors and advertisers, and when we come back, more with Jay Pryor.
Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. The show, a one-human show, is called The Gender Reveal Party. And the creator and star of it is Jay Pryor. We've been talking today about all sorts of things. And before the break, we talked about you being a parent. Mm-hmm. So how old are your kids now?
They're 9. My kids are 5 months apart. So they're, because they're not related, we adopted them out of foster care. Mm-hmm. So she will be 10 in November, and then he'll be 10 the following April. So they're both 9 now.
And do you think that people that age have a different idea about what gender is, a more expansive idea?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think all kids now have a bigger, expansive idea about what gender is. And then my kids in particular, I have been out to my kids since they came to us. And the way I handled that was I wanted to be clear that they understood. I wanted to try to find a way for them to understand that I wasn't, that I'm not just a man, you know what I mean? Because that's how I'm perceived as their dad. And so I purposely started telling them stories when they were babies about when I was a little girl. And I always used the words when I was a little girl. And basically, I just waited until my daughter's the one that basically started getting interested about 3 and asking me questions like, what do you mean you're a little girl? And so then I got to say, well, I made a choice to take testosterone, make my body look like this, but I'm still a girl, and I'm still, you know, and I'm part, and so the way we talked about it then was I'm part boy and part girl. So my kids kind of grew up with that concept. And then when I came out as using they, them pronouns, I started talking to them about it. And again, especially my daughter is pretty tuned into stuff. And I told her that she called me Maddie one time, and I said, I really like it when you call me Maddie. And she was like, oh, cool. And she just started calling me Maddie. And so now they both call me Maddie, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've talked about this, and you talk about it in the show. At some point you decide, hey, I think I'm gender nonconforming. Mm-hmm. You switch to they, them pronouns, and you go off testosterone. Where were you, and how did it all sort of come to you that this was now where you were?
Well, I always knew that I was going to go off testosterone at some point.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I just didn't know when, and I didn't, you know, I thought, well, you know, when I'm older, who cares? I don't know. Like, I figured more like in my 70s or whatever. But when the Me Too movement came out, and I kind of had that reawakening of the, you know, my commitment to. So I was speaking, and I have always said when I was speaking, I've always said that, you know, I didn't come out of one box and go into another box, and I've never really fit into any of the boxes. And so I was speaking one day around my hometown, which was oddly enough, and I stepped off the stage, and I just knew. I was like, oh, I need to start using they, them pronouns, which was annoying to me because when that whole thing started out, I'm like, they, them, why can't we go with Z? Because, like, you know, if they're going to make something popular, make Z popular. But then I stepped off, and it was like just all of a sudden made sense to me. It was like, I definitely need to use not he or she. I can use Z, or I can use they, them. But I've always been out like that. I just never use the pronouns because, you know, I was flipping over from she to he, and at the time that was exciting. So it took forever people to get used to calling me he. Then that just became the thing. So for me, it just became like a knowing, like a flash, like, oh, I need to do that. And it just felt comfortable. And then when people started using they, them pronouns in reference to me, it felt really good.
Mm.
And then for me, I always gauge, how does that feel? You know what I mean? Like that.
Right,
and,
right.
And it really felt right. It felt like, oh, that's good. I like that.
So the phrase detransitioning is a little bit provocative, a little bit controversial.
Is it? Well, I didn't know the word for it at all. I just know I went off testosterone.
Right. So some people, you know, there's little scandals here and there about, you know, what's going to happen to our children. And then are they all going to change their minds? So what, it's just like sort more of, it's just more gender panic basically. What made you decide to go off testosterone, and what has that felt like?
Going off testosterone, I decided to go off testosterone very shortly after I started using they, them pronouns, because once that felt really good, I was like, well, why am I on testosterone? Like I've got everything I came here for, which was to get rid of the tits and have a beard. So I don't need the rest of it. Right. So I just decided to go off. I was already on a pretty low dose. And so my doctor and I took me off cold turkey, and that was probably not the best idea. So I cried for 6 months. The first 6 months was pretty hard. But no, I'm teasing about that. I did have a lot more intense emotions at first. But the first thing I noticed was the absence of the sex thought. And in place of it became all this comedy around what was going on with my body and this and then me going off testosterone. And so the very first thing I noticed, I was in the Redwoods with a group of women, and I was there to keynote, and I was so happy because it was the first time I'd been in a women's only space in years and years. And I'd been there about 24 hours, and I'm surrounded by these gorgeous, awesome women, and I hadn't been thinking about bending any of them over. I'm like, whoa, what happened?
And on testosterone, that was like an everyday thing for you.
On testosterone, it's not just every day. It's like every 3 seconds. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just all the time in the background. You can just grab it whenever you want, basically. Anytime.
Hormones are real.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how it's felt, it's been a journey. My doctors told me that my ovaries were atrophied and I'd already gone through menopause. And then a month after that, my wife was teasing me about how she's an alpha cow and my body's probably going to be confused and just start its period right after hers. The day after she started, I started my period.
What was that like?
Well,
I mean, was there any body dysphoria?
No. There was just there was exactly what there is for all women, which is, oh, this is what we do, right? We just go deal with this. And what there is sometimes the thought that, like, I think my male brain or my guys wouldn't be able to deal with this. Like, they would cry about it. They would whine about the fact that they had to go buy tampons and do this stuff, where women just kind of take it in stride for the most part, I think. So for me, that's how it was. And things have changed. So, you know, I had to go get my wife's tampons and try to use them. And first thing I forgot about was labia pinch. Ow, God, I mean, that hurts. That really hurts. And I had forgotten all about that. And then the kind she uses are kind of weird and long for me, apparently, because I put it in and I'm like, you know, gagging on it. I'm like, I earned my Red Wings at 19, but gee, man, I don't need to taste that. So then I have to get different tampons. So, you know, I go with, actually, I feel like I'm doing a commercial, but I use Lola.com. And they
thank you for that. They have sponsored the show.
Oh, yay. Good. Awesome. bless them, because they shipped me my tampons in a box, and they're organic and they're cardboard, and I really like them. So, but I figured, you know, when I was on, before I went on testosterone, I rarely had a period. I was one of those people that I had one every 6 months or every 3 months. So I never thought that I would have a regular period. Sure enough, I'm at a training the next time. I went ahead and took a tampon just in case. I have it in my blazer. And I go, and I'm sitting there. It's 10 a.m. Sure enough, I just know. And I know. I go to the men's room, right? Now, when I first transitioned, I took my brother into the men's room to see if I sounded different when I peed. Because I was paranoid, right? Because I was scared. And a lot, we used to talk about this. Does it sound different when we pee? Because, you know, we're scared. So I took my brother. My brother says, yes, it sounds different. Nobody gives a shit. Like, nobody's paying attention. No. And that's the truth, because men do not. I've had more violence come at me from women as a butch being in the women's room than ever being in the men's room, because they don't look at you and they don't care. And I'm about to open a tampon. Now, every woman knows the sound of a tampon, right? But do guys know what that sounds like? So I cough over it. I'm like, I do that, of course, labia pinch. I get out. Then everything's good. I wrap the cellophane, put it in my pocket. I wrap up the tampon package. And there's no box in there. I'm in the men's room.
Oh, right? There's no trash box.
No, there's no trash box. So I put it in my blazer, right? So then I go out. Wouldn't you know it, they're on a break. The one guy I want to see in business, a CEO I really want to meet, I'm at this training. I run into him, and he's about to leave. And he's like, Jay, I'm so glad I got to see you. I'm like, oh, my gosh, me too. I really wanted to connect with you. He goes, me too. He goes, give me your card. I reach in my blazer pocket. I'm out of cards. Well, maybe I could take your card and get in touch with you.
Okay, so, but you didn't whip out a tampon applicator.
I did not.
Because that would have been, that is pure gold, comedy gold. Pure comedy gold. No. But at the moment, wouldn't make me feel not so great.
Not so great. I'm pretty sure I wrapped that up, but I think handing him a business card with a little tampon blood on it may not be the best way to start a business relationship.
You're like, I think we're going to
go there.
I'm going to think on my feet here, and it's not this.
I'm just going to get his card. So it's things like that. I went to an energy worker the other day, and she told me that she's, you know, I don't know if you believe in energy work, but I love them. And she's working on me, and she gets close to my ovaries, and she goes, your ovaries are big and fluffy. It's like you have the ovaries of a 32-year-old. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I froze those things. Like, I'm going to bleed till I'm 98. Like,
oh, no. I mean, yeah, do you get the years added on or something?
I don't know. That's the thing. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. But the doctors told me they were done, and they were clearly wrong. And now my energy worker tells me they're big and fluffy. So what are you going to do?
Fluffy is a strange way to characterize ovaries. But okay. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we will talk to Jay and their fluffy ovaries. Stay with us.
It's July, which means it is the one and only sale of the year at the Pleasure Chest, in store and online. It's BOGO. Buy one, get one half off anything that vibrates of equal or lesser value. Have your eye on a luxury vibe. These things do not go on sale, people. Maybe you want to try a vibrating butt plug. Maybe your magic wand is about to kind of kick it. Not to worry. BOGO is the perfect time to restock or upgrade your toolbox. You need to invest in pleasure for yourself, for a lover, for a friend, for a partner, or really just to treat yourself. This sale goes on for the entire month of July. It excludes Crave and Pleasure Chest kits. It's not available to combine with any other offers or promotions. Visit pleasurechest.com and get your vibe on. Hey, everyone. You know my show is part of a collective called Pleasure Podcasts, and I'm really proud to be in such good company. Sunny Megatron and Ken Melvoin-Berg host a podcast called American Sex. It takes a deep but humorous look at unconventional sexual expression in the United States, featuring an eclectic mix of guests. Here's a little teaser to tell you more.
Hey, I'm Sunny Megatron from American Sex, a podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of Ooh, that's kind of a trashy first impression, isn't it? I'm so sorry. Okay. On American Sex, Ken Melvoin-Berg and I explore our guests' deepest, darkest sexual secrets, hang-ups, fantasies, and victories. each episode reminds us that in this fine country of ours, no matter our differences, we all want and deserve the same things. Freedom and happiness. And find American Sex on iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcast services, or at AmericanSexPodcast.com.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. So my great sponsor, The Pleasure Chest, has free sex ed events at all their locations, some of their locations, sorry. And I want to tell you what's coming up. In New York City, July 17th, Blowjobs and Beyond. July 18th is going to be a great event. It's a hashtag open mixer hosted by Dirty Lola. It's a sex-positive social event for open-minded folks. There's going to be refreshments and discussion, icebreakers, socializing. It's all hosted by Hashtag Open and Dirty Lola, who's the creator of the infamous Sex at a Go-Go and the host of this new web series, Sex Probs. So we're going to have these events for Hashtag Open at one location in each city. So they're coming up. This is the first one. It should be really, really fun. In Chicago, July 14th, Tips, Tricks, and Sips, the Self-Pleasure and Body Exploration National Nude Day Edition. Whatever we're going to make of that. And I don't think you have to be nude to be there. And in LA, July 17th, Suck It, Lick It, Love It. I'm talking today with Jay Pryor, and we've been talking about their one person, one human show, the Gender Reveal Party, and their kids, and they're going off testosterone and all the wacky things that happen to their body. How was there any point at which people in your community or people online who are trans identified gave you crap for going off of testosterone, for changing your pronouns, for any of that?
No, I've never had anybody. The only time I ever got any crap was when I first transitioned in that, you know, from some butches that felt like I was selling out. Mm-hmm. That made me sad, but otherwise, no one who went off testosterone. People are mostly just curious. I've just had people be curious about it, and people want to know why. Mm-hmm. And they're not comfortable with me just saying because I did. They really want to know why. I mean, it's so funny. The other thing that's interesting to me, and I talk about this a lot in a show, is because I've had to come out. I come out all the time, over and over and over again, so people know who I am. And when I went off testosterone, I started telling people about going off testosterone. People were really concerned about my wife. So it was fascinating. It was as though they forgot so much that I was a dude that they thought maybe she forgot. And so, I mean, they would say things to me like, well, what about Jessica? And, you know, my good Midwest polite answer is always, well, you know, she just loves the person. and they'd go, oh, that's right. She just loves the person. But in the show, I get to give my fun answer, which is, you know, she's been eating my pussy for 18 years, right? I mean, for crying out loud, she did not just wake up one day and discover that she had a woman in her bed. You know, I mean, it's like, people, come on. But it really is so, you know, the thinking is so binary that it's like,
yeah.
Oh, if you're going off testosterone, you're going to get hips and curves and your skin's going to get soft again. Like, what will she do? You know, like, she's going to
share her moisturizer. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly right. So,
although it is another transition, like, I see it from their point of view in that when people transition and they're in relationship, there is always this question of, oh my gosh, how is my partner going to react to this?
Yeah.
But you're saying your wife was like, whatever.
We had a little lesbian honeymoon. I tease her about this because I say this in the show. She's always identified bisexual, but then I lost all the hair on my body. I got my ass back. And I'm telling you, she's lesbian leaning. I mean, she's touching me way more. And part of that, again, my skin, you know, I was a very hairy man-ish person. So the testosterone, I literally had back hair and chest hair. I mean, I had just hair all over the place, and it's all gone. And my skin is super soft.
Okay, so your hairline remains the same, your voice remains the same, but some of these things do go away?
Oh my gosh, I was so shocked. Yeah, because my beard stayed, which is my favorite part. It got really soft, and it's a little harder to manage now because it's kind of like, I don't know if you have this ever have this experience with your partner, but with on testosterone, sometimes you wake up and you have an old man eyebrow, just like one of them, just flayed out there, right? Well, my beard is kind of like that, where like the whole, like every once in a while, it's just a sprout will be like, wah! Because it doesn't grow thick and even like it did, but all the rest of my body hair fell off, like all of it. I looked down and my hands were women hands again.
I have never heard this before.
The man hands? Amazing. Like I had hairy man hands. And then and just like the first time, it seems like it happened overnight, right? So I wake up, and now my ass is back, and I have to go shopping for pants again, and get reminded that man with camel toe is not a good look.
No.
No. It is not. So, you know, it's been a journey. It's been very interesting.
Okay, this show is going to be... Well, first of all, it's coming up really soon, and then there's a couple dates. Let's talk about where they can see the show, first of all. July 18th at the Jazz House.
Yes.
Where is that?
It is on Mass Street in Lawrence, Kansas.
In Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah, everybody knows where the Jazz House is if you're in Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay, great. September 19th at Artera. Is that also in Lawrence?
Yes. Yes.
And then you're hoping to tour probably college campuses and maybe other GLBTQ community stuff around the country.
You bet. And any bar, any venue who wants to have us, what I want to do is, I mean, it is an LGBTQ show, but one of the most important things, and this is why I love my town and I've got a lot of support here and they're showing up and buying tickets, is this is for straight people. I mean, this is to educate straight people who are out there talking to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I've always been an advocate for LGBTQ youth. I've been doing it for 27 years. And this is still my same mission. My job has always been to wake people up. And so awesome that queer people will watch it. And I want to be in queer spaces and share this with queer people. And this is for straight people to wake up.
That was like 100% clear to me as a viewer that it works on multiple levels. In other words, this is a great like one person show. So if you like queer art, like go see it, right?
Yes.
But then if you're listening to the story and it's so real and it's very visceral, it also begins, it has these like teaching elements, right? Yeah. And also might be a way to educate people without a kind of like gender PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. Did you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, PowerPoint is great. I love PowerPoint, but sometimes people can, it just feels a little detached and a little clinical and it's not personal. Right.
Yeah.
And so I can see cis people watching this and you can laugh along with it. You can get invested in the story. And you're a great storyteller, but then also you can walk away and say, oh, wait, now I know some things.
Yeah.
Or I understand some things better.
I had a woman who saw the show come up to me who is, I believe, close to 70 years old, cisgender, white woman, came up to me after this a week later and said, ever since I've seen your show, I hear gender everywhere. It's like there's so many ways we could be inclusive that we're not. And I hear it everywhere because of your show.
Mm,
and I was like,
compliment.
Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted. Thank you very much. And she got it.
You opened her eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, people, this is how you're going to find Jay online and book them to come to your town or your college or your big corporation who has some money to throw at for diversity right. training.
Yeah.
JayPryorConsulting.com on Twitter at JayPryorCoach and at The Gender Reveal Party. On Instagram at The Gender Reveal Party and Jay Pryor Coach on Facebook. Thank you so much for being on the show.
We also are at TheGenderRevealParty.com.
Oh, and TheGenderRevealParty.com.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Tristan, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to be with you.
Great. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, who once again picked an amazing guest. Announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. My guest will be Audacia Ray of the Anti-Violence Project, talking about the current efforts to decriminalize sex work in New York. Until then, I'm at Tristan Taramino across all social media platforms, and the show is on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. Next week, let's talk.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.